Out of the melting pot into the fire, multiculturalism in the world's past and America's future is the title of a new book, and it's described this way, quote, as it absorbs record numbers of new immigrants, the U.S. faces critical questions. Is it better to promote a unifying, shared identity that transcends ethnic differences, or to foster a multicultural salad of distinct group identities? That's the question explored in this new book. The author of this book is Jens Heike. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Jens Heike joins us right now. Jens, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to have you on the program.
Jerry, thank you. I feel really privileged to be on. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, the flap jacket of your book mentions that ethnic killings have claimed some 10 million lives in the world since the time of World War II. One could think of, for example, Rwanda. I believe that was about a million or so killed, so that would be one of the 10 million. But ethnic cleansing, ethnic conflicts and so forth. Let's start with that particular point, because I think that's kind of an important reality we have to explore.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned Rwanda, and that's probably the most stunning example of how you can go wrong in dividing people by group. So prior to the colonial period in Rwanda, there were Hutus and Tutsis, two different groups there, but they actually got along really well. It was only when Belgian colonialists came in and started dividing them, issuing identity cards that told them they were Hutus and Tutsis, and then passing a program of affirmative action. That's when things started to go downhill. Prior to that, there was no systematic violence between those two groups. But the Belgians came in, they gave out those identity cards, they separated the groups, and what do you know, 60, 70 years later, you have one of the worst genocides in history. A million people, and that's out of a population of 7 million people. So it was hugely catastrophic, and it wonderfully illustrates, or horribly illustrates, I should say, the consequences of dividing a country into groups according to how they look or what their origins are.
Okay, and yet your book goes on to point out that there have been some major positive changes in Rwanda, you know, out of the ashes of all that, in a way getting away from the division. Can you explain that?
Yes, that country achieved the most incredible turnaround I think I've ever seen in my review of history. They went from having this genocide, which and if we think of it in terms of America, it would be like having 57 million Americans killed in 100 days. That's how bad it was. And it was dead last in the world in terms of per capita income and living standards and all of that. And then they decided to turn their back on the division that had been executed over the previous seven decades. They said, from now on, we're not going to distinguish by group. There are no more Hutus and Tutsis. We are all Rwandans. And they relentlessly focused on that, on a shared identity among all the people in their country. And the turnaround they achieved was absolutely stunning. They had the highest economic growth rate in the world for 25 years. If you go to Kigali, the capital today, it is like going to Zurich, Switzerland. It is so clean and so safe. It's one of the safest places, not only in Africa, but in the world. So it achieved just a spectacular turnaround, all by following the principle that the country needed to be one cohesive group instead of being divided into different groups.
It seems like one of the main messages of your book is that if you look in history and you see the example over and over of the situation where they will encourage group distinctions, you know, almost like the balkanization of a nation, to borrow a phrase from retired writer Pat Buchanan, and you enhance, you know, those, you accelerate the distinctions between the people within the cultures. In other words, multiculturalism, as opposed to the idea of a melting pot, that's when the problems begin. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's absolutely right. And what my book shows, an example after example, Rwanda is just one. We also saw this in Sri Lanka. And, you know, it's interesting you use the term Balkanization. We saw it in the Balkans, too, in Bosnia, in Croatia, and so on, that these countries that once had some sort of sense of cohesion, they started dividing people up. And sometimes they used a program like affirmative action, or otherwise they segmented them and had them on different educational tracks or divided them in other ways. And that has almost always led to bad things happening.
That's so interesting to me. I'm a student of American history, and in the one of the most important messages in American history was the farewell address of George Washington. It wasn't a speech that he delivered. It was more, something that was written up and then sent out to the newspapers and so forth. But in that farewell address, George Washington warns future Americans and his, you know, the Americans alive at the time in 1796 about the problem of factionalism, among other problems. But I thought that was interesting because it seems like factionalism is kind of a sub-theme of your book. You also use a phrase, multicultural particularism. So your comments on factionalism and multicultural particularism.
Yeah, the founding fathers, as you know, were keenly aware of the dangers of factionalism. Remember that, they weren't that far past the 30 Years' War in Europe, which was a religious and political division, and it killed 20% of the people in Europe. So they were very aware, and George Washington was very aware of the dangers of divisions, whether they be ethnic or religious, and the importance of having a sense of union. Now, the expression multicultural particularism comes from Diane Ravitch originally, and it's the sense that somehow cultures can't, people from different ethnicities just can't come together, that they can't forge any sort of sense of unifying identity. And it's one of the concepts that I take aim at in the book, and I show over and over again, starting with the Roman Empire, how that's completely wrong. The people of different ethnicities and different racial and ethnic backgrounds throughout history have been able to come together and form a unified whole. And in the United States is probably the single best exemplar of that in history, how we have had so many different groups here from so many different parts of the world that have all come to see themselves as Americans.
The phrase itself, melting pot, I didn't realize, was that born in the writings of a certain man who was Jewish, married to a Christian and so forth? Tell us about the origins of melting pot.
Yeah. That person, Israel Zangwill, he was a Russian Jewish immigrant who actually came from England. He wrote a play called The Melting Pot in 1908, and it emphasized...
Excuse me, to your knowledge, did he invent the term, or was he the first to apply it to the American experience? I mean, I'm just curious.
There are hints of the term that go all the way back to Hector de Crèvecoeur, who's a French immigrant in... at the time of the American Revolution, and he wrote about how people of different origins would meld to become a new race, and by race he meant really nationality, not black or white, to become a new race of men. So that was kind of the first hinting of the term. And it goes on a century later. Ralph Waldo Emerson, writing the late 1800s, spoke of having a smelting pot. He said smelting pot rather than melting pot. So, and then it was 1908 that Israel Zangwill wrote the play. So there were already kind of hints of that metaphor that go all the way back to the time of the American Revolution.
So what does the melting pot mean?
It is the sense that people can come from all over the world, and regardless of what color their skin is, what their original ethnic origins are, that they can have this sense of a shared identity. And importantly, and Israel Zangwill was very clear about this, that didn't mean that if you came from Mexico or you came from Germany, you didn't have to just completely give up all your proud ethnic heritage. Instead, what you did was share that with the people of your new country. And so it would become a unifying thing rather than a dividing thing. And the melting pot is often given a bad rap on that, that somehow it means that everybody just has to give up all of the memories of their past and become just like an Anglo-Saxon person. That's never been the case, and that's not how Israel Zangwill envisioned it. And nor was it the Teddy Roosevelt, who attended the opening night of the Melting Pot play, absolutely loved the play. And he wrote to Israel Zangwill afterwards saying it was one of the best plays he'd ever seen.
Interesting. What is multiculturalism? And I take it it's like either or, either a melting pot or multiculturalism.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually define the term multiculturalism in the book because it's acquired such a broad range of different meanings. There's kind of a soft multiculturalism, which just means that we, you know, we should honor other people's ethnic heritages, which I'm all in favor of, and it's actually very consistent with the melting pot idea. And then there's this notion of multicultural particularism or hard multiculturalism, which says that it really just isn't either desirable or possible for people to share from different origins to share an identity. And I take huge issue with that because I believe the United States historically has achieved that among many, many different groups.
And it's interesting to note that the Founding Fathers, when they met in Philadelphia in 1776 and they produced the Declaration of Independence, you know, one of the main things that they said was, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. 200 years later, Martin Luther King Jr. said, the founders of America made a promissory note, and now it's time for our people, and he used the word Negroes in that speech, it's time for us to claim, you know, cash in on that promissory note. It is only fair because we're created equal too. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and you know, that was an absolutely wonderful speech by Martin Luther King. And he summed it up so nicely that this idea, just the idea of equality, just like the ideal of the melting pot, has always been an ideal. And we've never gotten to the point of actually realizing it. We've strived over the years and gotten closer and closer. And as he said, now it's time for us to apply that ideal to everybody in the United States. And, you know, we're still working on it. We haven't gotten there yet. But I say it's a valid ideal and one that we should continue to strive for.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, others, they look at it and they say, well, black people have been excluded from this, or this or that group has been excluded. We've fallen short. Well, the fact that we fell short in the past is not a reason to abandon the ideal. It's a reason to just work harder at it.
I agree. In fact, the Constitution actually, as I recall, begins, you know, we the people, in order to create a more perfect union. Now, I'm sure when they meant by those words at the time was as they were creating the Constitution out of the ashes of the failed prototype for the Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, they were trying to create a more perfect union. But I think that phrase is a good one for America as we strive to be, you know, try and be that city on a hill that they talked about in the early days. Okay, we have 15 seconds left. You want to just say whatever, what else you want to say in closing?
Yeah, you know, I would just love to say that it's really time for us to focus relentlessly on this country, on what we all share as Americans, rather than what different groups we came from in the past. That in the end, we are all Americans, whatever our origins are, and we should honor those origins. But we should also focus on the identity that we all share.
All right. Again, Jens Heike has been our guest. The name of his book is Out of the Melting Pot, Into the Fire. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.